بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى في شأن حبيبه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable Ulama Kiram, Huffaz of the Holy Quran, respected elders, dear brothers, and our beloved youth, and of course our respected mothers and sisters in Islam. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala profusely. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us one of the greatest gifts in the form of His beloved messenger Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran that, O believers, O people, you are floundering hopelessly in the oceans of darkness. You are groping in blindness, looking for the light. You didn't know the way. You were deviated and misguided, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took mercy upon you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His special favors upon you, in that Allah sent a messenger from amongst your own kind to you. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says He has favored the believers when He sent رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, a messenger from amongst their own kind, to teach mankind the book of Allah, to purify and cleanse their hearts, and to teach them the way of leading their life. And Allah says at the end of this ayat, وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Before this, O people, you are in total darkness, in manifest misguidance. My respected elders and dear brothers, it is a very great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on any human being. We are extremely fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us from the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That messenger was a blessing unto humanity. Without any application from our side, without signing any forms or declarations from our side, without making any kind of prior commitment from our side, purely out of His mercy and kindness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us from this ummah. We are extremely fortunate. If only we understand, my dear brothers, what is the status of this ummah, what is the position of this ummah, then we will understand what a blessing we enjoy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that ummah, my respected elders and dear brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has praised this ummah in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a title to this ummah, a very, very high an honorable title. Allah has given this ummah the title of Khayra Ummah, the best of ummahs. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is giving the title, when all the great Nabis of Allah that have gone in the past, be it Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, be it Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, be it Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Harun alayhi salam, it is said that every one of these messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they heard about the glory of this ummah and the greatness of this ummah, each one of them desired that they should become the Nabi of this ummah. This also indicates to us that the praises of this ummah were known to the messengers of the past. They knew about this ummah that was to come. This is why they showed and expressed this desire that they would like to be part. In fact, they would like to be the leaders of this ummah. When it was said unto them that you cannot be the Nabis of this ummah because the Nabi of this ummah has already been fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is none other than the greatest of all Anbiya, Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, as a further request, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam requested of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, if we cannot be the Nabis of this ummah, then allow us at least to be one of those ummah. Let us become his ummatis and his followers. Let us be counted amongst his ummah. But we know, my dear brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even accept this wish of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Barring one Nabi of Allah, which is our iman, our aqeedah, our belief, that Nabi of Allah was not crucified. He did not die on the cross. He was taken up alive from this world into the skies. And he's alive there even today. And he's sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a time will come when it will be ordained for him to come back onto the earth. And every detail, graphic detail of how he will come down, what time it will be, which part of the earth it will be, what he will do, how he will conduct himself, what will be his mission for coming, where he will pass away and where he will be buried. Every detail of that has been given. And as we all know, that was none other than Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he will come down as an ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he will be offered to stand on the musalla, to lead the salah, when he will descend in the Jami Masjid of Damascus, which has recently been extended very much, and a lot of work has been done on this masjid. When he will be offered to stand on that musalla, my dear friends, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam will say, I have not been sent to lead this ummah. One of you will lead the salah and I will stand as a muqtadi and as a follower. This is to indicate and to respect the status of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam, that he is now coming, Isa alayhi salatu wa salam is now coming in the world, no more as a Nabi of Allah. No more as someone with a new kitab, with a new book, with a new shariat, but he is coming simply as a follower of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, all the Anbiya alayhimus salam, had they to come back in the world today, they would have followed every detail of the shariat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would have left all their own teachings aside. They would have left their own kitabs aside. They would have left their own shariats aside. And they would have followed this deen, this Quran, this Sunnah, this Shariat. That is why it is said that once Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was studying the Torah, and in his studies of the Torah, he found some very fascinating things in the Torah. And in fact, just in passing, inshallah, we'll mention about this later on, that this ummat has also been mentioned in the Torah. And great details have been given with regards to this ummat in the Torah, and we know the Torah is a book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but unfortunately many interpolations were done in the Torah, like it was done with all the other revealed books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be it the Injil, which is known as the Bible, or be it the Zabur, or be it the Torah, lot of changes, man-made words and statements were added in, amendments were made, interpolations were done, and up till today, these books are still being revised and re-edited and so on. Recently, I believe, it went to such an extent that now they want to make all the Bibles gender neutral. Gender neutral. To such an extent they've gone, dear friends, that the word he is considered to be gender biased. So, no reference must be made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he anymore in their books. It must come with that S/HE. Meaning he or she, whatever you want to make it out to be. Ma'adallah, ma'adallah, astaghfirullah. To such an extent they have deviated from Sirat-e-Mustaqim and from the original teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear friends, Musa alayhi salam was studying the Torah. In his studies of the Torah, he found something fascinating. And he wanted to read this passage out to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he did not realize Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely upset and angry. To such an extent that his Mubarak face turned red like a pomegranate. That was a sign of his great anger. His Mubarak face used to turn red when he used to be angry. And when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu looked up and he saw the countenance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was changed, he got a shock of his life and he started reciting, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ غَضَبِهِ وَغَضَبِ رَسُولِ. I seek Allah's protection from the anger of Allah and Allah's Rasul. What have I done? When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calmed down, he said, O Umar, لَوْ كَانَ مُوسَى حَيًّا لَمَا وَسِعَهُ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعِي. O Umar, if Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was alive today, he would have also had to no option but to follow me and to be one of my followers. He would have not been able to follow the Torah. Why are you looking at the Torah? Here we have the Holy Quran. We have the Shariat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that is not interpolated or changed in any way. There is sufficient guidance for you in this. You do not need to look towards the Torah, or you do not need to find inspiration in the Torah. Nevertheless, my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this ummah. It is khayre ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken work from this ummah like no other ummah in the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken such work from this ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the compilation, the work of the compilation of His holy kalam, the Qur'an-e Pak, from this ummah. Allah took the work of the preservation of His holy Quran from this ummah. And Allah continues to take this work in the form of the hafiz, the hufaz of the holy Quran. They are preserving the Quran in their hearts. Allah is taking this work from this ummah. No other ummah was given this type of honor, that they were used as the royal servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the defenders of His deen, as the preservers of His deen. This is a special blessing upon this ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this ummah that they preserve His teachings, they preserve and they propagate His teachings, they spread His deen. All these honors have been given to the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we need to understand and realize, my dear brothers, that together with the honor, together with the glory, together with the respect and dignity and status that Allah has given to this ummah, commensurate with that is also the responsibilities and the duties and obligations that Allah Ta'ala has put on this ummah. If we only bask in the glories of being khayra ummah, we're very happy that we are khayra ummah, but we forget the responsibility, obligation and duties that go with being khayr ummah, then my dear brothers, we will be in deception and we will be in error. It is very much like an example of a person who has been made the director of a company, or nowadays they use a more fancier term, the CEO of the company. Chief Executive Officer. He is The boss, as he was known in the olden days. With that responsibility, with that honor, goes the responsibility. When everyone else is gone home, he still has to take work home and he has to work late hours. The perks are there. The status is there. But it also takes the sacrifices. And it takes responsibility. If this person neglects his responsibility, he carries out his function. I mean, he basks in the glory of being the CEO. He's very pleased about this title that he's carrying, but he neglects his responsibility completely. Then it is feared, my dear brothers, that a time will come when he will be dismissed. In a similar way, my dear brothers, if we, the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are basking in the glory of being part of his ummah. My dear brothers, if we are basking in this glory, but we are not fulfilling the duty and responsibility, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not expel us from being part of this ummah. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has warned with regards to certain people, laysa minna, they are not from us. Being born in this ummah, they don't belong in this ummah, they are not part of this ummah. فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, they do not belong to us. لَيْسَ مِنِّي, they are not part of me. Many, many ahadiths we find this warning of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that certain people have been expelled from the folds of this ummah. So to understand the duty, the responsibility, the obligations that we have to carry as this best ummah, inshallah al-aziz, we will speak about that a bit later. At this moment, let us focus on the fact, what is the glory of this ummah? What is the greatness of this ummah? Today, unfortunately, my dear brothers, we have not realized the value of this ummah. We have not realized what is the value of being part of this ummah. This is why we don't give it any importance. We don't realize who we are. We have forgotten our own selves. We have forgotten the position that we occupy. A certain person is the son of a king, or is the son of some very great personality. If he is seen on the street corners playing marbles with the other boys, if he is seen outside hanging around in the cafes till late part of the night, if he is seen doing all the kind of despicable activities that other people do, then it will be said this man hasn't respected his position. He hasn't respected his honor and status that has been accorded unto him. It will be said to him, you don't belong here. You shouldn't be here. You are much greater and higher than this. You don't belong in this place. My dear brothers, because we have not understood who is this ummah and what is this ummah and what it means to be a member of this ummah, people of this ummah are seen in the worst places, in the wrong places, and seen doing the worst type of things. My dear brothers, this ummah is that ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah the greatest of nabis and the greatest of messengers. The fact that we are connected to the greatest anbiya alayhimu salat, greatest of all the anbiya alayhimu salam, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that in itself is enough for us to understand who we are. My dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that nabi who was so concerned and worried about this ummah. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. Allah says, there has come unto you a messenger from amongst yourself. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. It is very, very heavy and difficult on him anything that causes you pain or suffering. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He is greatly worried and concerned about you, has anxiety about your affairs. My dear brothers, بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Extremely kind and compassionate on the believers. We are that fortunate ummah that we have such a Nabi that no ummah has been given a Nabi of this status, who had so much of worry, so much of concern, so much of anxiety for his ummah, that we find there is hardly any salah that goes past that Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not remember his ummah after the salah in his duas. One day, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates this hadith. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the house and she requested him for duas. And he made dua for her, whatever duas he made for her. And she was extremely happy and joyous that today Allah's Rasul has made dua for me. And he said, "Oh Aisha, you are so happy that I made dua for you once. Do you know, oh Aisha, that I make dua for my ummah after every salah?" That is our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my dear brothers. Every significant occasion, he did not forget this ummah in his duas. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reading Quran one day. He comes across the various verses of the Quran where the previous prophets were concerned about their ummahs. And they made their pleas to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to their ummahs. My dear brothers, the tears start flowing from his Mubarak eyes. He lifts up his Mubarak hands and he says, "Ya Rabbi, ummati, ummati, oh Allah, my ummat, my ummat." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not see the crying of his beloved Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispatches Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam that, "Oh Jibreel, go to my beloved and ask him, what is it, ma yubkik, what is it that makes you cry, oh my beloved, why are you crying?" And Allah knows, knew the reason. But to manifest to us, ghafil and heedless ummatis, who have taken our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for granted, my dear brothers, Allah forgive us. So that our blind eyes may open up and realization may dawn upon us. We find that Jibreel alayhi salam asks him the question, "Why are you crying?" And he says, "Tell my Allah that I'm crying out of worry and concern for my ummah. All the anbiya were concerned for their ummah. I am greatly concerned about my ummah. What will happen to my ummah? I want some assurance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my ummah." My dear brothers, Jibreel alayhi salam goes with this message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a message again that say to my beloved that he must not be concerned and worried about his ummah. I will make him happy with regards to his ummah. I will make him happy with regards to his ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Holy Quran that Allah will give you وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah will give you, soon Allah will give you so much, until you are pleased, until you are happy. Allah will give you and give you until you are pleased and happy. When this verse of the Quran was revealed, my dear brothers, where did the mind of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go to? Every step and every moment, his mind was for his ummah. His feelings and his heart was for his ummah. That is why it is said by some ulama that even at the time of his Mubarak maut, the sounds that could be heard emanating from him was ummati, 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 ummati. So, when this verse of the Quran was revealed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy and he said, "Idhan la arda wa wahidun min ummati finnar." Then I will not be happy until a single ummati of mine remains in the fire of Jahannam. Until then I will not be at ease. Allah promised that I will please you, O my Rasul. I will give you till I am pleased. He says, I will not rest until a single ummati of mine. The one who has got even one small iota of iman in his heart. I will not rest until I have not rescued him from the fire of Jahannam. That is why it is said, that although Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the first to open the doors of Jannah, he will be the first to gain entry into Jannah, His ummah will be the first ummah to gain entry into Jannah. But despite that fact, the last to come into Jannah will be Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he will not enter until he is not satisfied that every ummati of his has gained salvation and has been saved from doom and has been saved from the fire of Jahannam. Until then, my dear brothers, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not rest. My dear brothers, it is the night of Mi'raj. He goes up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 50 salah is given to him. He comes down, meets Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam says, your ummah won't manage 50. It's too much. I know from experience. Go and ask Allah ta'ala for a concession. This was how kind our beloved Rasul was, my dear brothers, that he took it upon himself to go and ask concessions for his ummah. He could have said, I'm happy with 50, they will have to carry it out. But his concern for this ummah, he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know how difficult it is if somebody gives you something, or if somebody, there is something you have to go back to someone and go and ask for something, ask for a concession. A person feels it so difficult to go and ask for a concession, to go and ask for a discount. People hesitate going to ask for a discount. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put all this aside and he said, for the sake of my ummah, I'll go back to Allah ta'ala. Went back, my dear brothers, got concession. 10 namazes were down. Went back, another 10. Went back, another 10. Went back, another 10. Musa alayhi wa sallam said, no, it's still too much. Went back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made 5 less. Now 5 namazes were left. Came back, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam says to him, no, this is also too much. Ask Allah ta'ala for a concession. But, my dear brothers, this was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam's concern and his worry for his ummah. He realized that he had taken enough concessions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And putting trust in this ummah, that they will respect this concession that he took for them, he came back onto this earth with the 5 salah. It is a moment of reflection, my dear brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was kind to his Rasul. The Rasul was kind to his ummah. He got this concession for us. If we do not respect all of this, my dear friends, and we still neglect our 5 times salah, it's a great indictment upon us, dear brothers. It is a shame upon us that after getting all these concessions, we still neglect our salah. Speaking about this 50 salah and 5 salah, there was once Prime Minister of one Muslim country, Pakistan. There was this election coming up, and one very great and prominent alim was standing in the election. And in fact, he actually won the election, but Allah's taqdeer overpowered that moment when this great alim who won the election passed away a few hours after the election, and so all the gains were lost. But nevertheless, in the days of this election, there was a lot of effort, of course, being taking place, a lot of canvassing and so on. And the Prime Minister met this great alim who was the leader of the opposition, and he said, you know, Mufti Saab, I cannot understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the salah number down from 50 and he made it 5. Allah Ta'ala should have left it at 50. Why did Allah make it 5? So, Mufti Sahab told him that, you know, sharam karo. Have some modesty and shame in you. Tum ek bhi nahi padhte ho. Or, you don't read 1, and you saying that Allah should have made, you know, shouldn't have made it less. So he turned around and he said, Mufti Saab, main apne liye nahi keh raha hu, aapke liye keh raha hu. I'm not saying for myself, I'm saying for you. If Allah left it 50 salah, you should have been so busy with namaz that I would have won the election. But now that there's discount and there's only 5, you got enough time to fight elections and be my opposition. So my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a compassionate and kind Nabi that he never forgot his ummah at any stage. Even on the day of Eid, Bakri Eid is taking place. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam slaughters 2 animals. One on behalf of himself and one on behalf of his ummah. One on behalf of his ummah. So whether it is the day of Eid, he has not forgotten his ummah. It is at the time of Maut, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Israel alayhi salam, Malakul Maut comes to take the Mubarak Ruh. Sakarat of Maut is haq and it is a fact and it is a reality. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam is enduring the terrible pains of Sakarat. Allah make it easy for us all. At that time, he asked Malakul Maut, that is this the type of pain that people go through at the time of Maut? He says, O Allah's Rasul, I am being extremely gentle and kind in the extraction of your ruh to cause you the least amount of pain. He said, if this is the least amount of pain, what will be the real pain of Sakarat? And he says, O Malakul Maut, take the pain of my whole ummah and put it onto me. Let me bear the pain of the Sakarat so my ummah does not have to go to the pain of Sakarat. This is the compassion that this beloved Rasul has for his ummah, my dear brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us, my dear brothers. We have completely forgotten our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All his sacrifices and suffering, and of course his long, long nights of standing in Qiyam, reading Quran and making dua for this ummah, all that has been forgotten. Today, my dear brothers, many people, Allah forgive us, we don't even want our faces to resemble the face of beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please do not take offense, my dear brothers. But it is something that sometimes we need to say it. It's a reality we have to accept and face. That a person gets up in the morning and he stands in front of the mirror. He looks at his face and he doesn't like his face to resemble the face of beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he takes the blade and he washes, shaves and washes the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam down the drain. How much of pain that must be causing to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a sad situation, my dear brothers. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and realization. One person wrote a beautiful qasida in the praises of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a naat sharif. He used to write many beautiful naats in the Persian language. A man traveled hundreds of kilometers to go and meet this poet. He was so overwhelmed by the beautiful poetry. He said, I must meet this man in my lifetime. He who could write such beautiful praises of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He must be a very ardent lover of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he goes. And when he knocks at the door of this person, he said, he is at the barber shop. Go and see him there. And he goes into the barber shop. And to his great disappointment, he says, alas, he finds that the man is sitting in the barber's chair. And the barber was shaving his beard off. My dear brothers, he says to him, what are you doing? What are you up to? So he says that I'm not doing anything. I'm only having my beard shaven. He said, but how can you do such a thing? He said, I'm not causing pain or suffering to anyone. He says, unfortunately you have not understood and realized. You are not shaving your beard, you are shaving the heart of beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear brothers, some of us may also feel that, look, I don't shave it all off. So I don't fall in this category. But there is another requirement. And that requirement is there is a certain length that has to be kept of the beard. To cut it less than that length is also going against the sunnah and teaching of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is like a person has to undertake a journey. Let's say, I'm just going to give an example. We know there's petrol shortages in Zimbabwe. You come to the border post, the last town, and it is said that if to make it to Harare, you've got to have a full tank here. Fill your tank up. Those that don't fill the tank up, they're going to get stuck on the way. So there's one person who's there at the border, his tank is empty and he still drives on. He's going to go 5 kilometers and he'll get stuck. But another person says, this is a very foolish person. I got half tank, at least I got half a tank. So he drives, he's going to go halfway and he's going to get stuck. It is only the person that's got the full tank that will make it to the end of the journey. So if we are contented by the fact that at least we haven't shaven it off completely, but we got something, we're halfway there, we're not going to make it to the end of the road, dear brothers. To make it to the end of the road, you got to go the full length, so to say. Allah give us understanding and tawfiq, dear brothers. These are sometimes bitter pills, but those who have got sugar diabetes, bitter medicines and bitter pills gives them shifa and cure. So let us take it in that light, dear friends. Let's take it on the chin, inshallah, in a nice way. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. My dear brothers, there's so many aspects we can speak about our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love for his ummah and the great honor of this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, the Anbiya alayhimus salam that came in the past desired to be part of this ummah. They praised this ummah. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, great messenger of Allah. He sent salam upon this ummah. And it is said when a person is informed that Ibrahim alayhi salam sent salam to this ummah, then we should say, alayhi wa ala nabina salatu was salam. Say it, dear brothers. Alayhi wa ala nabina salatu was salam. May salam be upon Ibrahim alayhi salam and our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We're responding to the salam of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasallam. And he sent a message through Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, O Rasul of Allah, inform your ummah, after you give them my salams, inform them that Jannat is a very fertile land. Lot of rivers, very fertile soil, but it is a barren place. You can build your Jannah with your Amal. Tell your Ummah to read the third Kalima in abundance. Those who read this third Kalima, their Jannah will become Abad. Their Jannah will be built up. And they will go to a Jannah that is full, not an empty piece of land. Musa alayhi salam, concerned about this Ummah, full of praises of this Ummah. Isa alayhi salatu was salam, he used to praise this ummah in front of his followers. And he used to say, the outstanding feature of this ummah and the distinctive feature of this ummah that gives it this great status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that this ummah will be that ummah which will recite the kalima la ilaha illallah in abundance. My dear brothers, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the malaika praised this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed them 1,000 years before he created the heaven and the skies and the earth, Allah informed them that there will come a ummah. When they heard the recitation of Surah Yasin, they heard the recitation of Surah Taha, they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is these verses going to be revealed upon? And it was informed to them at that time that these two surahs will be revealed upon the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The angels were also overwhelmed and they said that that ummah will be very fortunate upon whom these verses of Allah will be revealed. My dear brothers, like this on the day of Qiyamah, the status of this ummah will be manifest to the world. Mankind will be standing on the plains of Qiyamah. Those who are destined to go to paradise and Jannah will be standing. Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us there will be 120 safs or lines that will be standing of people to enter Jannah, the Jannatis. Out of the 120 safs, 80 safs will belong to this ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The overwhelming majority of the Jannatis will be from this ummah, my dear brothers. That is why our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to exhort this, his followers and his ummah, that have many children, so the ranks of my ummah may be large, swell the ranks of my ummah, so that my ummah may be large, and I can be proud of a large ummah on the day of Qiyamah. Those women whom Allah has made fertile, and they are the carriers of many ummatis, glad tidings unto them. Congratulations unto them. Today, my dear friends, our values have gone topsy-turvy, upside down. When we see a person with a big family and lot of children, people laugh and they mock and jeer at them. That they have to buy a big car and whatever. And keep a register and head count. How many children there are. Our Ustad in India, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Azami, may Allah Ta'ala give him long life. He's coming to Zambia next week, inshallah. Sheikh al-Hadith, the Darul Uloom. 15 children. When he had to go on a journey, they actually had to take a head count about 3-4 times to make sure all the children are there. Because sometimes one child is gone in the train, you're traveling, somebody is under the bunker, somebody is on top, somebody is in this corner, somebody is in that corner. And Ajib, he was so engaged in his knowledge of Quran and Sunnah, and so engrossed in his khidmat of deen, that many a times he actually used to forget the name of his own children. The Khadim used to be there and tell him, Hazrat, nahi, ye wo nahi hai, ye wo hai. But my dear brothers, these are the people our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be proud of on the day of Qiyamah, that they have swollen the ranks of my ummah. So my dear brothers, today it has become such, okay, if our women do not have the strength to bear that many children, that's a medical issue. We don't want to go into that. We don't want any arguments tonight at home. At least, let us have the ambition in our heart. It's not going to cost us anything. That, Ya Allah, if it was possible, I would have had many children to swell the rank of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah. My dear brothers, may Allah Ta'ala give all the young couples many children. Whenever I perform nikah, I make this dua also. Allah bless them with abundant children. People say ameen that time, sometimes very reluctantly also. Ye dua kabul ho gayi, to phir kya hoga? Like that one person, he didn't have children. And suddenly when he started getting children, 4 boys he got, one after the other, and they were such little rascals, that first he kept their names, Ahmad, Muhammad, Musa, Harun, or whatever it was. But after that he started keeping the names Pareshan, Heran, and whatever. Another person didn't have children. Made a lot of dua, went to this buzuruk, that buzuruk, took this taweez, that taweez. One taweez must have been very powerful. Moment his wife, one child after the other started coming. And daughters. First daughter came, Rahmat-e Ilahi, the Rahmat of Allah. Next one came, Fazl-e Ilahi, the Fazl of Allah. And so on, as they started coming, giving them different names, Allah's mercy, Allah's rahmat, Allah's blessings, etc. When the 9th daughter was born, now the name, He was thinking about the only name that came to his name was Tawbah Ilahi. Tawbah Allah, enough now. Nine is enough. Nine daughters. My dear brothers, going back to the subject, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this ummah. Allah has made us khaira ummah. On the day of Qiyamah, the status of this ummah will be known. People will come. It is said, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will recognize his ummah. He will have the largest hose, the largest pond on the day of Qiyamah. And his ummah will be the only ummah that will be allowed to drink from that hose kawsar. And that water will be such that a person drinks that water, he will never be thirsty forever after that. My dear brothers, the duty and the responsibility of this ummah. Let us speak about this aspect. May it not be, my dear brothers, that as ummatis of such a great Nabi, as ummatis of such a great personality, we become the means of embarrassing our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave advice to his ummah at one stage. La tusawwidu wajhi yawm al-qiyamah. Oh my ummah, don't blacken my face on the day of Qiyamah. Don't do such actions. Don't behave yourself. Don't conduct yourself in such a way that I must become embarrassed on the day of Qiyamah, and it will be said in front of the whole of mankind, this was the ummati and follower of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to do this and this and this and that and the other. We know in the world also today, my dear brothers, if the son of a prominent person does bad things, he hijacks and steals and kills and robs and extorts and does all kind of wrong things. The father may be a great wali and buzrug, but the father is so embarrassed that sometimes he wishes the earth can open up and swallow me. What kind of awlad did I get that have brought such discredit to my name and the name of my family? My dear brothers, one of our duties and responsibilities as this ummah is not to do those actions that will embarrass our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. And if we have done such actions, the doors of Tawbah are still wide open. Let us make our peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us wipe out those evil records so that none of those records remain that can cause us embarrassment and that can cause embarrassment to beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers, many saintly people have seen dreams in the recent past of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the one vision that one great person saw was there was a huge rock placed on the chest and the Mubarak Sina of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the interpretation was given of this dream, it was that the amal of this ummah have become like a weighty rock on the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is very grieved and sorrowed at the actions and activities of his ummah. Let us not be contributors towards that, my dear brothers. Let us not turn our backs away from the beloved sunnah of our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Especially when it comes to our functions and so on. At that time we throw everything to the wind. As if we have no guidance, we have no example to follow. We are not learning the lessons, my dear brothers. How many a times it's been said over and over. Make our wedding simple. Make it conform to the sunnah. Cut the extravagance out. Cut the wastage out. But day by day, we're hearing of more and more fancier weddings and more expenses. Directly opposite, the direct opposite direction from which our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us and left for us as an example. My dear brothers, let us not become obstacles for the deen of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world. By our actions, by our doings, today, many of us, Allah forgive us, we have become an obstacle and barrier for the hidayat of people. People want to accept Islam. People are thirsty for this deen. People are hungry for the light of Islam. After September the 11th, People see the negative picture, but the positive picture is interest in Islam is overwhelming all over the world. Copies of the Quran are sold out in America. People are curious. People are interested in learning about Islam, wanting to know about Islam. But my dear brothers, at the same time when they see the actions of Muslims, they see the behavior of the Muslims, they see the attitude of the Muslims, and they think to themselves, if this is what we have to become, then we rather be what we are, because there's no difference between us and these people. What difference is there? They can't see any difference between a Muslim and themselves. If they are modern, if they are liberal, if they are free, they are doing whatever comes into their mind. The Muslim is doing the same thing. We have become an obstacle and barrier from people accepting Hidayat. One person has given a beautiful example when he said that do not be like that snake that is sitting on the gold. There's bars of gold and there's a snake that is sitting there. The snake cannot benefit itself from that gold, but it is prohibiting and it's becoming an obstacle from others benefiting from it. Let us not be like that, dear friends, that we ourselves are not benefiting from the beautiful teachings of Islam, but we are become a barrier from others seeing the beauty of Islam. Our duties and responsibilities. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has entrusted this deen to us. He has been given the responsibility till the day of Qiyamah. For the وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ. Allah says, we have not sent you but unto the whole of mankind. Till the day of Qiyamah, the message has to be conveyed unto them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam a short Mubarak lifespan, 63 years, 23 years of which was his mission. He did his utmost. He made all the sacrifices. He made all the qurbani. He gave all the teachings. He gave the complete and total deen. He did not hold back anything. When he gave the whole deen, he called his sahaba on the day of Arafah. And he asked them, Hal ballaghtu? Have I passed the message on? And they said, O Allah's Rasul, you have conveyed ballaghta risala. You have given us the message. And he lifted up his Mubarak shahadat finger and he said, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allah, you bear witness that I have given the message to them. They've got the full and complete message of Islam. And he entrusted this ummah that now you take this message to the whole of mankind. My dear brothers, each and every one of us is an ambassador of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each and every one of us as an ummati, we have been charged with the duty and responsibility of khatme nubuwat, of taking the message of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam further into the world, in our own way. Somebody read this ayat in front of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he said, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. O Umar, glad tidings, we are the best of ummats. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him, friend, don't be in a deception. This glad tiding is not for everyone. This glad tiding is mashroot. It is conditional. There's a condition Allah attached. Allah Ta'ala didn't just stop at kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat. Kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the best of ummat. Aage ayat, like they say. Full stop after that. No. It's mashroot. It's conditional. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You have been taken. You are the best of ummat because you have been taken out for mankind. Ta'muruna bil ma'roof. وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Your job will be to spread the good and to stop the evil. And you will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama say that iman on Allah is primary, is the first thing. But Allah put that secondary here. And the first thing Allah put is تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Why? Because iman is a common thing. With all the ummats of the past, every ummat had to believe, every ummat had to bring iman. This ummat also has to bring iman. But the distinctive feature and the distinction for this ummah is that it will do the work of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, which was not given to the past ummats. So this is our duty and responsibility. To convey the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ballighu anni walau ayah. If you know one ayat, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, convey that from me. My dear brothers, we are that ummah that must encourage the good and stop the wrong. This is this ummah. Unfortunately, the situation has become such today that we have taken the opposite role. We stop the good and we encourage the wrong. What an opposite role we have adopted. In our homes, dear friends, let us look at the examples. The wife wants to follow the teachings of Islam. She wants to cover her hair. She wants to cover her legs. She wants to cover herself. The husband will stop her and say, I like you with short hair. And I like you to go out open in the public. Much as the wife wants to practice, she cries and complains, Maulana, I want to practice. My husband is an obstacle to me. The husband wants to grow his beard. He wants to perform his salah regularly. The wife and children will say, you are looking like a doho now. You're looking like an old man. You're looking beyond your age. Look your age. You're embarrassing us in public. Allahu Akbar. The children, the mother will buy the most tight-fitting clothes for her daughters. She will buy the most revealing outfits for her daughters. The father will see and he will take his daughters to the evil places of vice. He will take them in their dress. The father is seeing it. The mother is encouraging it. The mother is buying it. Everybody is happy. Is this not encouraging vice and evil, dear friends? Today, my dear brothers, Allah Ta'ala is so kind to the people of this country. Allah has given us freedom of religion in this country. It's a great blessing. Women can cover themselves. They can put on their scarves. They can put on their parda. They can put on their hijab. They go to the airports also. Their religion is respected to such an extent that they've got officials there. Lady goes in niqab. They will take her one side. There's a female. We'll check a photograph. What you'll find in a Muslim country, Allah Ta'ala has made it easy for us and possible for us in this country, which doesn't have an Islamic government. It's not a Muslim country, but so much of respect is shown to religion, and there's so much of freedom of religion. It's a very great ni'mat and blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Let us realize it, dear friends, before it is taken away from us. In France, thousands of women are crying to put on the scarf in public institutions. By law, they are banned. They can't put on their scarves in public institutions. What must be going through their hearts? Ya Allah, to practice my deen. To uphold my modesty and my sharam and my haya. All I need is a little opportunity to cover my hair. That is being denied to them. They may be widows. They may be people who are desperate for a job. Or they may be desperate they have to go out like this. How difficult it must be for them. Here Allah has made it easy for us. Here Allah has given us the liberty. Allah has given us the freedom of religion. Women can cover their hair. There's no obstacle for them. But my dear brothers, sadly, what those sisters in France must be thinking. Sadly, the people here who have got all the opportunity, they are the ones who will walk around with their hair. Hundreds and thousands of our girls walk around in the shopping malls. And this place and that place, the hair is wide open, the hair is uncovered. No care in the world. My dear brothers, Allah Ta'ala must not make it that when these things, these liberties and these blessings are snatched away from us, then we realize, but it may be too late. It may be too late at that time. So my dear brothers, the duties and responsibilities of this ummah, that let us do the work of Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi anil Munkar. Then we become khaira ummah. Let us live up to the prediction and the expectations that the past Anbiya alayhimus salam had about this ummah. The high words of praise they had for this ummah. Isa alayhi salam said this ummah's distinctive feature will be they read La ilaha illallah in abundance. Today what is our condition, dear friends? How little the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being made. Instead of that, gossip, slander, vulgar language, and all this has come on the lips of this ummah. It is mentioned in the Torah, as I was saying earlier on, the praises of this ummah. One of the praises of this ummah is that this will be that ummah that they will watch the sun for the timings of the salah. This is our praises in the Torah. And today, dear brothers, days and days go past. If we are fortunate, some of us see the masjid once in the week on Friday. We have the freedom of religion. We can hear the azans. We get leave for Jummah Salah from work. Many people pine for the opportunity of going for Salatul Jum'ah. They don't get leave from work. Here Allah gives us the leave from work to go for Jummah Salah. But there are so many people that miss out the Jummah Salah. There are so many people that have gross disrespect for the day of Friday and the Jummah Salah. They get early leave from work, but they will stand outside and they will talk and talk and jab and chatter and carry on and on and on and on. One bayan is going on here and thousands of bayans are going on outside. They'll wait till the last minute and they will come in right at the end. And they'll be out first, last in, first out. They want to apply the labor laws in the masjid on Friday. LIFO. Those laws were not made for the masjid. Here it should have been first in, last out. My dear brothers, also, we need to think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this the best of ummats. Why is it that the best of ummats is going through so much of suffering? Where has this ummat gone wrong? What have we done wrong that the best of ummats is become the most suffering of ummats? The most tortured of ummats. The most tormented of people. The most downtrodden nation in the world today. The Muslim ummah. What has become of us? That we have come to this level and this situation. This ummah is supposed to have been the elevated ummah. Allah's promises for this ummah are so great. Rasulullah's promises for this ummah are so great. The promises of the past anbiya for this ummah are so great. Wa antumul alun. Allah says in the Quran, you will be elevated. You will be the highest. We should have been the highest. Why is it that we're not the highest? Allah made the condition, but you would have been the highest in kuntum mu'mineen, if you are indeed truly believers. It goes to show there's something wrong with our iman. There's weakness in our iman. This is why we are not occupying the position we're supposed to be occupying. One poet said in Urdu, Wa'da-e ghalba hai iman walo ke liye. Phir bhi agar tu ghalib nahi, to kuch kasar hai iman mein. Wa'da-e ghalba hai. Allah has made the promise of domination and elevation for this ummah. But if still you are not elevated, and if still you are downtrodden, to kuch kasar hai iman mein, there's some weakness and shortcoming in your iman. My dear brothers, it is time for us to look into ourselves. Do some introspection. Do some self-evaluation. Do some assessment. And see where are we going wrong. What are we doing wrong that we are not achieving what we're supposed to be achieving as an ummah. And then, my dear brothers, let us apply ourselves. Let us make those sacrifices. Let us make those qurbani. This is a time when the ummah is required to make sacrifices and qurbani. If we are not going to make sacrifices, we are being sacrificed, my dear brothers. What do we want? To make the sacrifice or to become sacrificed? How many of our brothers and sisters and children are being sacrificed in parts of the world? It's our choice, dear friends. If we're not going to make the sacrifices, we'll become sacrificed. We'll become sacrificial lambs, like it is happening everywhere else. But if we start making the sacrifice, we start making the qurbani, and we start adopting the ways, Allah's madad, Allah's nusrat will definitely come to this ummah. There is no doubt about that. So my dear brothers, that little sacrifice is needed from every one of us, men and women. Let our sisters also hear this message loud and clear, that they must support the menfolk in making the sacrifices. That is their sacrifice. Man wants to do the work of deen. He wants to serve the deen in whichever way possible. But if he has obstacles from his wife, she's or his family, they must not become an obstacle in his sacrifice. That's their sacrifice. And sacrifices are needed of our time. Sacrifices are needed of ourself. Sacrifices are needed of our wealth. My dear brothers, let us fulfill the role as the ambassadors of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He wanted the whole of mankind to get hidayat. He wanted to save the whole of mankind from the fire of Jahannam. He wanted the whole of mankind to get salvation. For that he made so much of effort, so much of sacrifice. He was so concerned. Allah Ta'ala to tell him in the Quran, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِيٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. O my Rasul, perhaps you will destroy yourself if these people don't want to accept and believe. My dear brothers, Allah give us understanding and realization. Who are we? What is our duty? What is our responsibility? The world is thirsty for Islam. People are hungry for Islam. Allah use us as ambassadors of Allah's deen and the deen of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That each one of us must become instrumental in the hidayat of one person, of some person. What an honor it will be on the day of Qiyamah, that through our effort, one person got salvation from the fire of Jahannam. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one hadith, man aslama ala yadayhi rajulun wahidun wajabat lahul jannah. That person on whose hand one person becomes a Muslim, jannat becomes wajib for him. Let us aspire, my dear brothers. This is the position and maqam and status of this ummah. That we are the saviors of mankind. We have come for the salvation of mankind. We are not here just for ourselves. Just for our own leisure and pleasure. Just for our own enjoyment and fun. We have a duty and responsibility. We are the saviors of mankind. Let every one of us aspire that, Ya Allah, at least one person, if not every year, at least one person in my lifetime must accept Islam on my hands. I must become instrumental for his hidayah. Day and night we have interaction with non-Muslims. In the workplace, in our homes, where and where. Let us aspire that, Ya Allah, let give hidayah to one person at least on my hands. So I have something to my account, to my credit on the day of Qiyamah. At least I can stand in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and say, Allah Rasul, I didn't do much, but at least one man got hidayah through my effort. We can show something. We have something to show on the day of Qiyamah. It's not difficult, my dear brothers. People are eager. They're just waiting. All they just want a little tap on the shoulder. All they want is just a smile. All they want is just a few kind words. All they want to see is a practical manifestation of Islam. Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali used to always say, and I used to marvel at these beautiful words of his, that people have heard Islam, they have read Islam, they have seen Islam in the books, they have seen Islam in theory. What they want to see is the real and practical Muslims. They want to see living Islam. They don't want to see Islam on pages. They want to see the real living Islam in the Muslims. Then they will get hidayat and understanding. Many a times, I just want to share one or two experiences so that it can be an inspiration for all of us. One day, I was traveling in the Eastern Transvaal, stopped at one place, it was Maghrib Salah, took out the Musalla in the garage, put it down on the forecourt on one side, called out the Azan and read the Maghrib Salah. It's our duty, it's our responsibility wherever we are. I didn't realize, my dear brothers, there was a person who was observing. As soon as I completed the salah and I was about to get into the car, he walked up to me and he said, you know, I like the way you are praying. I want to follow your people's way, your religion, and how you pray, I want to follow. One action, my dear brothers, just one action. People are hungry, they're thirsty. I had to explain to him that I am traveling. I'll give you a very brief, short explanation of what Islam is. But what I would like you to do in that locality just nearby is a very prominent alim. I gave him the contact numbers and everything. I told him, you go and see such and such alim. He will give you more explanation and detail, and you can continue. If you do accept our religion, you already are Muslim because you've expressed the desire. Go and formalize your Islam there and then learn your Islam. Alhamdulillah, after I phoned a few days later to find out, they told me that it's very Friday he came there. Jummah time, he accepted Islam. He reverted to the deen. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. After that, inshallah, let us hope that he has continued to be a good Muslim after that. The point is, my dear brothers, let us manifest the Islam. Let us show that Islam. Let us practice that Islam. And then you will see, inshallah, with little effort, hundreds, thousands of people are going to enter into the fold of Islam. And then we will be fulfilling the mission of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I seek your forgiveness, your indulgence for having taken so much of your time. But my dear brothers, this is a public holiday today. We probably had enough rest during the daytime. So I took advantage of the situation. Tomorrow is a holiday. And as it is, where do we spend, most of us spend our Saturday nights? Where better to spend the Saturday night than in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to listen to the words of Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala give the speaker, the listeners, the audience and the entire ummah the understanding that who are we? Which ummah do we belong to? What is our status? What are our virtues? And what are our duties and obligations? Allah give us tawfiq to fulfill all of these. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Read Durood Sharif, my dear brothers. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa ala ali sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma huwa ahlu. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa ala ali sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa barik wa sallim. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم إن قلوبنا ونواصينا وجوارحنا بيدك لم تملكنا منها شيئا فإذا فعلت ذلك بنا فكن أنت ولينا واهدنا إلى سواء السبيل اللهم اغفر أمة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة المسلمين اللهم اغفر أمة المسلمين اللهم تجاوز أمة المسلمين اللهم أكرم أمة المسلمين اللهم أصلح أمة المسلمين اللهم حرك أمة المسلمين لما تحب وترضى اللهم حرك أمة المسلمين لإعلاء كلمتك ولإقامة دينك وشريعتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين